This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc., Monday, May 27th. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, Brett Skalski with you. Matt Robinson will be trying to join us as well later in the show. So it's a packed house here on a Monday. We wish everybody happy Memorial Day weekend and holiday. I hope you're having a great Memorial Day. We do want to always, when we do a Memorial Day show, acknowledge the servicemen and women. The people that keep on putting up the good fight year-round around the world for our freedoms, to be able to talk about NHL like this on a show like this on a daily basis. So we acknowledge, obviously, all the troops and their sacrifice that they make day in and day out on this Memorial Day holiday. I also want to take a moment out to speak of Memorial Day, fitting that, look, we're hockey people first and foremost. We love hockey. It's a sport that's number one in all our hearts, but we love our other sports too. We love football. We love basketball and other sports. And we lost a great one in the world of basketball today. Bill Walton. What can you say? He was an incredible Hall of Fame college basketball player, incredible career at UCLA, thought a very good NBA career as well. And then I think even more remembered in his later life for what he did in the broadcast booth. And don't forget, a lot of people too are not old enough to remember, and I know I am, and Alex is, growing up in the Michael Jordan era in the 90s, he was on NBC. He did NBA on NBC, and he was a lot more straight and narrow back then. Like, if you watch a Bill Walton broadcast during the NBA and NBC days with Steve Snapper Jones or Marv Albert or Costas or whoever he worked with on NBC back in those days, he was just, you know, nuts and bolts, you know, basketball analyst. Yep. You know, that's pretty much it. You wouldn't get the tomfoolery you got with him in his later years. But he did the NBA on NBC for quite some time, 90s and into the 2000s. Then they lost the rights. And then he, you know, was pretty under the radar for the next few years. And then all of a sudden in the 2010-11, you know, actually it was 2012 when they officially hired him. ESPN made the decision, we're going to hire Bill Walton and put him on the college basketball broadcasts, and specifically Pac-12, because that's the conference he played. He's a California guy. You know, he spent all his time out there. And I had no idea when they made that decision that what we were going to get. But what we got was, I don't know what you can say. It's the Bill Walton experience is what I would call it. You know, he definitely had some enhancements during the broadcast, you could tell, but entertaining as hell. I mean, you couldn't say it was a dull broadcast with Bill Walton, whether he was working with Roxy Bernstein, Dan Shulman, Jason Benetti, you go on down the list. And the guy he worked with the most, I think, for the college basketball broadcasts, and it's the guy I really feel bad for today, he's got to be hurting deep down inside, and that's Dave Pasch. Everyone associates Bill Walton with Dave Pasch on those college basketball broadcasts, but just, you know, hilarity, tomfoolery, entertaining. He'd drift off and speak about subjects and topics and stuff that you would not be expecting during the course of a college basketball broadcast. And I know there's some people that said, hey, focus on the game. But one thing you can't say about Bill is he was dull and he wasn't entertaining. Yeah. So that was a great, great, hilarious, entertaining run he had. And like I said, he loved life. You can't deny that. He definitely did. Everyone that knew Bill Walton said he loved life. So a life well lived. And in the words of Bill Walton, thank you for your life, Bill Walton. Rest in peace. Alex, yeah, definitely wanted to mention something about the passing of Bill Walton, knowing how many years, I think a lot of us have been watching him on TV. And like I said, we go back even further to when he was on NBC for NBA coverage in the 90s. But good, great basketball player, hell of a broadcasting career, and obviously hell of a character as well.
Yeah, like I said, you know, there's so many people who know him as a broadcaster and kind of go over, you know, gloss over his career. And of course, he was hampered by a lot of knee and foot injuries, but he was one of the most talented college players around at the time. And you know, if it had not been for injuries, probably would have had an even more dominant NBA career as well. But was able to translate that into the world of broadcasting. Like I said, you know, some of those great Bulls games from the 90s. I vividly remember growing up hearing his voice, and then later on transferring over to college basketball. Like I said, he had his own quirky way of going about things, but like I said, never dull. He's always entertaining and enjoyable. Definitely in the later years and the viral moments, definitely stacked up amongst. So you can, you know, go on Twitter or go on YouTube today and find all kinds of different clips and highlights for sure. But rest in peace, Bill Walton. Condolences to his family and his friends.
Yeah, I already reposted the one where he was with Dave Pasch. It was Bill Walton's birthday. They gave him a little cupcake with a little one little candle on it, and he bites the cupcake with the candle lit still. I mean, that's, yeah, that's that was one of the many memories we remember. And then he just go off in tangents. I mean, it's just you never knew where that road was going when he was calling a game, but you knew it was going to be something interesting, probably something hilarious, all in one. Brett and Matt, will bring you in because you guys are coming back from vacations. Well, not vacations. Matt was just there for a few days in Dallas, back home, if you will. But Brett, true vacation for you down in Mexico. And from what you told me before the show started, you were ready for a vacation, and it came at a good time. You were ready. You needed one.
Yeah, definitely. After the long season I have, and then on work on top of all of that, it's ready for a break, ready to get away for a week or so and reset the batteries. But it was good. Glad to be home. Glad to be back, joined with you guys, and ready to cash some tickets tonight.
No doubt. And Matt, the Dallas experience. Obviously, you came back yesterday from a nice little few days in Dallas that started Thursday. And you've, of course, took in game two, which was a victory for the Dallas Stars on Saturday night. But how was it being back in the old stomping grounds for you?
Yeah, it was great. you know, the weather's a little nicer here. I feel like I've gotten unused to the humidity that Dallas holds this time of year. So the weather was a little bit of a beating, but as you can expect, you know, a lot of energy downtown in Dallas right now with the Mavs and the Stars both, you know, still alive. Everywhere you go, there's Mavs jerseys, Stars jerseys, hats. You know, it's definitely a good time to be a Dallas sports fan. And you can tell while you're just walking around down there at some of the bars that everybody's pretty excited. So overall, great trip. Glad I was there for a nice win, and hopefully they continue that tonight.
No doubt. Like I said, I pretty much called it. I said, you know, I knew Ryan, your brother, was going to be there for game one. I said, he ain't seeing a win. He's just not. Sorry, Ryan, you're not seeing a victory with your team. We know what it goes like for game ones with the Dallas Stars. But I said, Matt's going to see a win, game two on Saturday. And that's exactly what happened. We've got ourselves a 1-1 series with the Oilers and the Stars. Yeah, it's a great time, you know, to be in that city. I got to imagine. I mean, it's just Mavericks one night, Stars the next. And certainly now the Mavericks are one win away from the NBA Finals with their win against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And actually, I have to mention something about this godforsaken sports city that is Minnesota after what I witnessed last night. I mean, you can't script this shit anymore with this team, with this city, with their teams. I mean, the Minnesota Wild, perennial playoff exits early, year in and year out. The Minnesota Twins haven't done shit in the playoffs other than really last year. They won one round against Toronto, and that's about it in the last several decades since the early 90s. You look at, obviously, the Timberwolves, you know, very little, if any, success. This was the first time they've done something in 20 years, getting to the conference finals, and now they're maybe about to get swept and look dismal with some of their big star players, Carl Anthony Towns in particular, last night. They have had very little success. And then, of course, you've got the Minnesota Vikings, where they've had heartbreak. I still can't believe they lost the NFC Championship game in 1999 that year against Atlanta, when Atlanta went on to play Denver. They were such a better team than Atlanta on paper that year, the Minnesota Vikings. They really were. How they lost that NFC Championship game, it's mind-boggling. Because they were just – but somehow they did because it's Minnesota. That's why. So, Alex, you can speak to this. And then, of course, last night, basically the span of 30 minutes of real time, Timberwolves lose another close one of the Mavs and fall down 3-0. And then you have the PWHL Championship Series game against Boston. Here's Minnesota. Finally, we're maybe going to see some great things happening here. Up 2-1, home ice, XL Energy Center. You're in overtime. You're one goal away from winning the title on home ice. And you think you've scored. You think you've got the game winner. The girls are already just throwing their helmets off and everything and jumping up in the air and, you know, celebrating like, you know, hockey teams do after winning a championship. And they're going nuts. And just in the background, there's the officials going to the replay monitor or going to the replay center to see if that goal stands. So they're already celebrating, thinking they've won. And the next thing you know, like 2 minutes or so later, and the referees make it official. The goal is disallowed. It's called back. The game continues in overtime. And here's these poor girls on PWHL Minnesota. They're picking up their gloves. They're picking up their sticks that are all strewn all over the ice after starting to celebrate a championship. They've got to pick that shit up, put it back on, and strap their helmets in and get ready to keep playing hockey when they thought they just won the championship. And, of course, wouldn't you fucking know it? Like, not more than a minute or two later in real time, Boston scores. And now we go to a game five. And Minnesota might have missed their opportunity to win the championship in that PWHL title series. Alex, Minnesota sports. You just can't skip this shit.
No, you can't. Just, I mean, every single sport in town, like you said, it doesn't matter if it's on the men's side, the women's side. It could be minor league, a triple-A team. The St. Paul Saints, before they became a triple-A team, had two straight years, they're the best record in all of independent professional baseball. So that's major league, minor league, and indies. Best record, and then they lose in the playoffs. Like they've made losing an art form here in the Twin Cities, and it's just mind-boggling to see just a different way. So now you got the Timberwolves one loss away from getting swept out. Instead, at the first time in 20 years, even getting to the Western Conference Final. And we'll see what happens with the teams moving forward, obviously. With Viking season on the rise, the Twin season while in the way. So just more misery here in the land of 10,000 lakes.
Yeah, it is more misery. I'll tell you one place where there was not any misery yesterday, New York City and Central Park in particular, where there was a big New York Ranger watch party during game three with the Rangers and Panthers yesterday afternoon. And like I said, for all the bitching I did about ABC insists on these Sunday games being in the afternoon when it's on their network, I was able to put out the TV out in the patio and enjoy a nice outdoor patio afternoon. It was a very warm afternoon yesterday, so it was a great day to just watch the hockey game out there. And what a hockey game it was. My goodness, just outstanding from the start. I do got to give myself the old pat on the back. We had that theory we talked about on the show yesterday where I know it was two unders in a row, and I know the goaltending's been great in this series, but if there's ever a spot for the goals to start coming through, it was yesterday. It was the turnaround from Friday night to Sunday afternoon. The defensemen, both sides, played upwards of 25 to 30 minutes, all the key defensemen in game two in that overtime game. Thought that might add up a little bit. The early start, you know, you're shaken out of your routine a little bit. Maybe things will be a little sloppy, a little bit looser defensively, and that's exactly what it was. 2-2 after the first period and no sweat for either the first period over, and I know Alex had that as his best bet, and the full game over as well, 5.5. Great to have both of those come through and cash in yesterday in that game. It was just a back-and-forth affair. Credit to the New York Rangers, because every single time it looked like Florida, especially early, was going to get a little momentum, they answered. They had the early 1-0 goal with Reinhart. They get the two quick ones courtesy of Alexis Lafreniere, and the red hot all of a sudden, Barclay Goudreau. It's just incredible how well he is playing. He got the deflection goal that made it 2-1 in favor of the Rangers. Reinhart ends up tying it again for Florida before the end of the second period with another power play goal. It did stay 2-2 for a while. And then one of the best goals in the playoffs, scored by Alexis Lafreniere. in the second period, a nice end-to-end rush, does a nice little how do you do over, I think it was Kulikov there, of the Panthers, and then just slips it in on the backhand past Sergei Bobrovsky. Just an outstanding goal, an incredible individual effort by Lafreniere to give the Rangers a 3-2 lead, one of the best goals in the playoffs there. And then the Rangers end up minutes later on a Florida power play striking again, and it's Barclay Goodrow again. His second of the game, that's now, what, three goals in the last two games for him. I think he's already scored as many goals in the playoffs, or just about, as he did all regular season for the New York Rangers. He gets the shorty to make it 4-2 in favor of the Rangers. They just seem to be capitalizing and opportunistic all game. Florida made their push, though. You knew they weren't going away, even down 4-2 in the third. Barkov's deflection goal makes it 4-3. Gustav Forsling with a ripper of a shot, top corner, beating Shesterkin to tie it. And Florida almost won it at the end of the third period. Shesterkin had to make a couple of huge saves. He robbed Matthew Tkachuk in like the final minute of the third period, or else that game doesn't even go to overtime. And sure enough, in overtime goes, and he felt the longer it went without Florida putting it away, when they controlled so much of the game territorially, that the Rangers might eventually get one. And that's exactly what happened. Faceoff win, Ryan Lindgren point shot deflected by Alex Wenberg, who has barely scored since he's been with the Rangers, since they got him from Seattle. So talk about an unlikely hero. Alex Wenberg gets it in overtime, and the Rangers with a 2-1 series lead, with a huge 5-4 win in overtime of game three, despite the fact that the shot attempts, and I know ESPN put the graphic on the screen multiple times, the shot attempts in the game were like almost 100 for Florida to like 36 or 37 for the New York Rangers. Like, it was incredible, the discrepancy. Like, it was a north of plus 60 shot attempt differential in that game yesterday in favor of the Florida Panthers. But as Paul Maurice bemoaned in the post-game press conference, he said, our offense was hitting shin pads, you know, in that game, or missing the net. And there was just a little too much of that from Florida. But it tells you just how much they dominated territorially and how much, compared to the Rangers, they had the puck on their stick. But Alex, all that matters is what you do with it. And the Rangers were more opportunistic, capitalized on their chances. And I think yesterday was the first game all playoffs where I don't want to hang it on Bobrovsky, but it was a sizable gap in the way one goalie played compared to the other. And look, not every goal can be blamed on Bobrovsky. The Lafreniere goal, spectacular. The Barclay Goodrow shot was pretty damn good. But at the end of the day, got to try to hold the fort, got to try to keep it out and make that key stop when the other guy, Shesterkin, is just on fire and just standing on his head like he did again yesterday for the Rangers, and Bobrovsky couldn't make that save. And that was a big part of the difference in the game, Alex, as the Rangers take game three in a thriller.
Yeah, they stole the game. And that's what you need this time of year in these moments. Yes, you're going to have your big-time goaltending efforts. You're going to have your big-time forward step up and deliver, defenseman step up and deliver. But just getting lucky bounces and finding ways to win, especially on the road, especially in a game where you had a two-goal lead and you blew it, adjusting to the, venue change, the daytime start change, overcoming all that adversity and now getting out with 2-1 series lead. So at least ensuring yourself nothing worse than a sweep, leaving Sunrise. And if you play well again in game four, could possibly have a 3-1 lead heading back to Manhattan for game five. So you put yourself in a great position, and, Wittenberg being in the right place at the right time, that's the thing, can't get discouraged this time of year. If you're in the lineup, you have a chance. We talked about a lot of players who've been kind of looking like shit all year. Craig Smith is one that comes to mind for Dallas, or just, seeming out of sorts. But if you're in the lineup, you still have a chance. You're getting minutes, and just, be ready for that moment. That's the thing about having depth in the playoffs. Everybody's got to be ready for the moment.
There's no question. A great point by Jeans is what I'm going to call it. That timeout by Laviolette, incredible. It's just a great, great decision there. It was 4-4. You could tell the game was tilting to Florida at that time because they had made it 4-4. It was a time to settle down the boys, just get everyone dialed back in, refocus, hit the reset button. Like, hey, they're carrying the play right now. And they probably carried the play most of the game, but we still have a chance to win a hockey game and take a lead. in the series, you know, and it's almost like the old Matt Robinson line, right? Win a period, win a series, that kind of deal. You know, that's probably what he reiterated to the Rangers right there. And that timeout was a tremendous move by Laviolette. And you could tell the Rangers got back to, they had a few good shifts after that timeout when it was 4-4. So great job. And yeah, I can't deny the record. Like, I thought Rempe had a, not one of his better games. He took an early penalty. He didn't play a lot in the third period. I don't think he played at all, really, much of the third period or in overtime of that game compared to game two. But nevertheless, it's a win for the Rangers again with Matt Rempe in the lineup. And as Russell states, that record is accurate now. 22-3 for the New York Rangers with the Rempire State Building in the lineup for them. So there's something to it. He gives them the team energy, even though he didn't play a shit ton at all, quite honestly, yesterday. He ends up making an impact, and there's something about him in the lineup and the Rangers winning games. There's no question.
Yeah, at this point, you have to keep him in. Yeah. I mean, you can't buck that trend any longer. 22-3 this time of year. If you do anything that tells you you're going to be a 22-3 mark right now, then that's something you have to roll with. And like I said, he changes the dynamic. He keeps teams on their toes. They know that they can't take certain liberties and liabilities, otherwise they're going to have to deal with him. And even if he doesn't have to fight, just his presence in the lineup means, you know, teams kind of straighten up and fly right a little bit more to not have to deal with Rempe.
Yeah, no question. Great call by Kenny as far as Rempe. Did have a great screen in front of Bobrovsky on the first Barclay-Gaudreau goal. There's no doubt. His towering presence definitely impacted Bobrovsky's ability to see through the traffic on that first goal that he got. Brett, I think it was a profitable game for you because, by the way, follow this guy on Twitter. Bet with Brett's always posting his stuff on Twitter, so you need to be following him if you aren't already. Bet with Brett on Twitter. He's posting his picks daily, and I know he had a profitable result out of Game 3, Rangers-Panthers yesterday. How did it go?
Yep, I was on the first period over and full game over just like you were. A couple player props hit for me, which was great. Almost had that full game over right in the first period, which would have been real sweet. But, yeah, it was a good game. Gaudreau is one of those guys that just elevates his game in the playoffs. Going back to when he was with the Lightning, he might not necessarily do too much in regular season, but come playoffs, that's a guy you want on your squad. And that Lafreniere goal was really nice. Can start to see now with Laviolette behind the bench there why he was a first overall pick. He did not mesh well with Gallant, and I think now with Laviolette there, giving him more ice time, putting him in good positions, you can see why he was first overall pick, and he's matured a lot in the last year or so.
There's no question. The Alexi Lafreniere is a bust discussion is over. It's finished. It's done. Yeah, I don't want to ever hear it again, that nonsense, because I've been sticking up for him from day one. I really have. And you can go back and watch shows last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I was never ready to say it's over for Alexi Lafreniere. I always said, let's wait. Sometimes it takes longer, even for number one overall picks. It can take longer for them to hit their stride and find their game and take that next level, you know, climb that last rung of the ladder, whatever you want to call it. And he's doing that right now with the New York Rangers. And I think coaching's played a big role in it as well with Laviolette, because I do think there was disconnect with him and Gerard Gallant. There had to have been, because there has been a noticeable what Laviolette, the buttons Laviolette has been able to push with Alexi Lafreniere and the results he's gotten, it's night and day compared to what Gerard Gallant tried to do, pushing the buttons and not getting anything close to this out of Alexi Lafreniere. And like I said, that 3-2 goal, one of the goals of the playoffs that he scored for the Rangers. Matt, I know you were right in the middle of traveling and flying when the game was going on. I don't know how much you got to see of it, but a big win for the Rangers.
Yeah, it actually worked out well. I was able to watch pretty much the whole game during my flight. It was on one of the American Airlines live channels, so made the flight go a lot quicker. Obviously a great game. Didn't have too much action on it just because I was in transit, and obviously in Texas, I don't have the same access to the books that I have out here in Nevada. So, but yeah, great game.
That's got to change soon. Texas, wake the fuck up. Let's go.
Yeah. Right. And, but yeah, that laugh goal, the third one was maybe even the goal of the playoffs so far. I can't think of anything that was that nasty. But the big thing for me is the Rangers found a way to win, even though, you know, the big guns for Florida played well. I mean, 2 points for Barkov, 2 points for Reinhart, 2 points for Tkachuk, 2 points for Verhaeghe. You know, they had their big guns going, and they still found a way to win. So I think that's a huge win for New York. Would love to see Florida even it up just because, you know, since I don't have a dog in that fight, I want it to go seven. But I think that puts the Rangers in a really good spot to give themselves a chance. You know, worst case scenario, they're going home with a series split and they still have home ice advantage. So, yeah, great game. Exciting to watch. And yeah, the goals were flowing, which happened early. That was the two plays that I liked in that game were the first period over. And then I was leaning Florida. I thought they would respond to that OT loss and get it done. But yeah, the first period over would have been a nice play because that obviously was not a sweat. So, yeah.
Yeah, the only side in total I lost, Matt, in that game was Florida first period puck line because that period ended 2-2 after the first period. I did have Florida to score in the first period, which was minus 145, which is a pretty good price, actually. And, of course, they got two goals. But the big stuff cashed in, which was the over bifecta in that game. So again, a very exciting series. Game four tomorrow night, which will be the first of two betcasts this week right here on the Ice Guys. Game four will be on with you for that, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern tomorrow night. All right, now I do want to mention, I don't even know if I've mentioned it before on the show, but I thought I did on yesterday, but if I didn't, I'll mention it now. We are not going to have a daily show tomorrow. There'll be no daily show tomorrow. It was one of those deals where I had an appointment rescheduled with my dentist. The dentist's office is closing after this week for remodeling and renovations. So basically it's get in this week or, you know, you're not going to be able to get your, you know, appointment for months down the road. So had to find a way to get it in. And unfortunately, the only day and time was tomorrow around 2 p.m. Eastern, which is when the show is. So decided, you know what, we'll bite the bullet. We won't do a show tomorrow, but what we will do today is we will cover both games. We'll do today's game, Dallas-Edmonton game three, and then tomorrow's game as well, game four in the East with the Rangers and the Panthers. So we'll do both of the Monday and Tuesday games on today's show. Begin.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture, and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ending with the game tonight on this Memorial Day Monday night, as the scene shifts to Edmonton, the Ice District, as it's called, in downtown Edmonton, where Rogers Place is. Dallas and Edmonton, we've got the Oilers minus 130, home favorites, 5.5 the total. The series is tied at one game apiece going into game three tonight. Edmonton takes game one. Dallas responds with a game two victory, albeit it was not looking pretty after the opening period of game two for the Dallas Stars. It was not a good first period at all, but to get out of that period tied was probably a good thing for Dallas. But there's no doubt after that, you know, shaky first period where Edmonton definitely carried the play, Dallas got better, stronger, and there was like a, I think a 17-5 edge for Edmonton in shots on goal after the first period. But Dallas just gradually chipped away at that deficit, and I thought their game got stronger and their game got better as it went along. Of course, Jamie Benn with the magical moment for much of us. We had Alex was on bargain bin special with Jamie Benn. I was on bargain bin special with Jamie Benn. Hell, we didn't even speak to Matt before, you know, that game, as he's in Dallas. We're trying to let him have his time there. Even he, we found out, was on Jamie Benn for a goal prop. And actually, Matt and Alex went one step further, I think, with first goal with Jamie Benn with that. And we talked about how great a spot we thought it was for Jamie Benn in that game. Team's down 1-0. I don't think it was his best game by any stretch in game one. A great opportunity for him to respond and have a big game. And like Matt joked about on Twitter, which had me laughing, you know, if you, what kind of sports bettor or handicapper are you if you didn't have Jamie Benn, you know, to score on Saturday night in that game? Yeah, it was great to see that come through. There's no doubt. And then, of course, quick response by Edmonton, 1-1. And look, I was very at the time upset with Jake Oettinger for that rebound he gave up. I'm like, come on, Jake, you got to control that one better. You're better than that, leaving us a bad rebound out there like that. But man, he made up for it. He was phenomenal. He was the Jake Oettinger brick wall pretty much the rest of the game after that. Now we turn to game three, and there's lineup decisions both ways that we're waiting on. Roope hints it's been day after day, game after game. Will he or won't he play? He's been a game time decision pretty much a few games in a row now. He still is. It looks like they're going to wait till the pregame skate to determine his status. And we do have one change for Edmonton up front. Adam Henrique is back for the Edmonton Oilers, the man known as Rico. Back in the lineup, Ryan McLeod will come out for the Edmonton Oilers. And I can't argue with that, because Ryan McLeod has had a very quiet, I guess, Stanley Cup playoffs for Edmonton, especially the last few games. So it looks like I said, we're going to see obviously Henrique in for McLeod. Everything else should stay pretty much similar. Now, we talked about what I like most of all. First of all, let's start with the side for me. I am going to have a little piece of Dallas here, plus 110. Just a small piece, because I do feel this could be kind of a back and forth series, but I'm going to stick to my guns until I'm proven wrong that I said it would be Dallas in six, that it would be Edmonton winning game one, Dallas winning game two, game three, and game four. I'm being bold and saying Dallas can take both games in Edmonton, because they are that good of a road team, and they have proven to be that this playoffs. 3-0 in the last round against Colorado on the road. They won all three games at Ball Arena. 2-1 on the road in the first round against Vegas. So 5-1 for the Dallas Stars in the playoffs on the road. It's tough for me to bet. And now they're a small dog here on the road. It's very difficult for me to bet against that. So I am going to be on a little bit of Dallas here, plus 110 in this game. As far as the total goes here for game three, talked about it yesterday. You know, you have a change in venue, change in city. You're flying now from game two to game three for the first time with a little travel. I think that could lead to some situations where we get a little looser environment. And there's a lot of things, too, that point to some similarities with that fact. We had two unders in the first two games of Rangers-Panthers, and then game three soared over the total. I think we could see something a little bit similar tonight here in game three. Two unders in the first two games of this series with the Stars and the Oilers. You look at the fact that Edmonton's bitching about the fact that they're not getting a ton of power plays in the first two games of the series as well. They're not thrilled that, you know, they're just not getting any power play opportunities. Well, there's two things. First of all, you know, you're on the road. Peter DeBoer is going to get the matchups that he's looking for, and it's going to be difficult for you to win those matchups when you're on the road. And as a result, it's going to be difficult for you to draw penalties. That's number one. And number two is Dallas just doesn't take many penalties. You know, and I think Chris Knobloch, you know, just I hope he knows about it. He's got to, because when you're scouting the other team for a series, you got to know, you know, all their tendencies and that. I'm sure he knows that Dallas is a very low penalized team. In fact, they were right. I think only Vegas had more penalties than Dallas all season long. They've been one of the least penalized teams in the playoffs as well. That's a big part of it. You know, I know they could have gotten an extra call or two here, but if he's looking for four or five more power plays a game, Dallas is just not the kind of team that's going to give you those power plays. They have been one of the most disciplined teams in the NHL all season long. So the fact, though, that he said something about it, said we just want the standard to be even, I could see, especially at home now, Oilers are going to get last line change. Oilers are going to get McDavid now in more favorable matchups. And if I'm Edmonton, I'm getting McDavid at every opportunity the hell away from Tanev. You got to get him out away from Chris Tanev. That just cannot, if you're worth your shit at all as a coach tonight, Chris Knobloch, whenever Tanev's on the ice, you got to take McDavid. If you put McDavid out, DeBoer goes to Tanev, you pull McDavid back and you wait for the Tanev shift end, and then you go back to McDavid. You got to find a way to get him away from that guy, because he was a human eraser all over Connor McDavid on game two, as far as I'm concerned. Throughout that whole game, Tanev's just riding McDavid into the boards and cutting off his time and space, did not give up the slot, did not give up that prime real estate in front of the net at any point to McDavid. It was just an exemplary defensive performance from Tanev. And also, by Miro Heiskanen against the Draisaitl line, for, you know, and there were times he faced McDavid too, but mostly the Draisaitl line and the shot block he had on Bouchard, which was a prime chance slow-mo replay of him blocking a shot was phenomenal. Miro hasn't been on the ice for a goal against since game one against Miles Wood in Colorado. So that tells you how good he's been. This is your opportunity if you're Edmonton and you're Chris Knobloch to try to use home ice to your advantage. Get the matchups you want. Get McDavid away from the shutdown pair, especially of Tanev and Esselindell. You've got to try if you're Edmonton to do that. And if that's the case and they're able to get McDavid away from, like, if I'm Knobloch, you have a chance here to get, you know, Petrovic on the ice and that third pair against McDavid. That's where McDavid could do some damage here tonight, you know, in that line for the Edmonton Oilers. So that's where the coaching has to come in. You've got to play the matchup game. I don't even care if you, some coaches aren't even much of a matchup coach, but even if you aren't, you've got to try to find some kind of way here to get the Connor McDavid, Zach Hyman, Nugent Hopkins group away from Chris Tanev, because he is having that much of an impact in shutting you down so far, especially in game two. And by the way, Tanev, you talk about what kind of competitor he is. He knows he was on the ice for the double overtime goal that McDavid scored in game one. He knows it. What a response. Like, totally shut the guy down in game two, start to finish. He knew he was pissed off about that, you know, that McDavid scored that double OT goal and I was on the ice for it in game one. And what a response, because McDavid was shut down the whole game in game two. So credit to Tanev for that. So because I think Edmonton's going to have a better, greater ability to get McDavid's line away from the shutdown group, there's probably going to be more opportunity offensively for them. They're probably going to get more calls tonight. Let's be real. They're at home. Crowd's going to be going wild. They're going to get McDavid in more favorable matchup situations. They're probably going to get a few power plays tonight, certainly more than they did in the first two games in Dallas. That's probably going to be boding well for the potential for more goals, at least in this game tonight. So I am on the over bifecta here tonight, over 1.5 first period, over 5.5 in this game as well for the full game. And I do want to mention something. Both of these teams as well entering tonight, they're in their better splits offensively throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. Dallas is averaging 2.7 goals per game at home at the AAC. They're actually averaging 3 goals per game on the road. They've actually averaged more goals on the road, the Dallas Stars. They've averaged way more shot attempts and shots on goal on the road. I don't know if that's a product that they try to be too fancy, try to be too cute with the puck sometimes, look for the perfect play on the road. And I'm sure Matt might be able to speak to this when he talks about this game. I find Dallas simplifies it a lot more. Just get the puck to the net. You know, you don't have to make that pretty play. Their shot attempts are up on the road. Their shots on goal are up on the road. Their goals scored per game are up on the road. And I think Dallas just plays a more playoff-friendly game on the road, which I think is why they've been so successful on the road in the playoffs, 5-1 through their first 6 road playoff games. So you got Dallas averaging more goals per game on the road. And then you flip it around to Edmonton, who are averaging 3 goals per game on the road, but they're averaging a whopping 4.3 goals per game at home, the Edmonton Oilers. So you've got both of these teams that have been stronger split-wise offensively tonight in these respective situations. Dallas has been a stronger offensive team on the road in the playoffs. Edmonton's been a stronger offensive team at home in the playoffs. So put it all together, I like the over bifecta here with Dallas and Edmonton tonight. Matt, what do you think here? Game 3 tonight for your Stars in Edmonton against the Oilers, series tied 1-1.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. As you mentioned, Dallas has played really well on the road in the playoffs so far. And, you know, I do think the two road buildings that they had to play in, you know, were pretty tough places to play, especially Colorado. So the fact that they've had that success against two good teams, I think bodes well. You know, a couple of those Edmonton games with LA got out of hand real quick, so that to me skews the, you know, their home goals a little bit. But I do expect them to come out and score some goals. I'm on the over bifecta. I lean Dallas here, especially given the plus price. But I think it's going to be a good game. I could see it being like a 4-3 type game. So I do think there's going to be some goals. It's a good opportunity for some props. I will also be on Edmonton to score in the first period. You know, that's a bet that we've looked at a lot in these playoffs, a team coming off a loss going home.
Yeah.
It is like minus 150, so you do have to pay a little juice for it. But I think it's very likely Edmonton gets a goal in the first period. So, I think there'll be a lot of goals in this game. I think, you know, there's some lineup changes. I know my brother put in the chat, but Rupe Bahens did stay on with the regulars and not stay and skate with the scratches. So I know it's still game time decision, but it's looking like he may go tonight. And I think that'd be a huge boost for the Stars. Obviously getting him back, he brings a lot of speed and, you know, is a good two-way center as well. Takes a little pressure off Wyatt Johnston. He can play a little more normal minutes, things like that. So, but yeah, I think it'll be another good game. I know you mentioned Petrovic. I think he's looked great for what he's been asked to do. And he's an Edmonton guy. So I think, you know, he'll be excited to play tonight. I'm sure he grew up going to games in that building. So that'll be a big one for him. So yeah, the problem is that Suter, Petrovic have been just solid enough. And then you have the 1-2 tandem in Miro and Tanev. So it just makes it tough. There's not a lot of, you know, easy opportunity for McDavid to get a matchup against a lower end pairing. So I know it'll be a little easier tonight with them having the last change. So I do think McDavid will get some looks, but you know, we'll see if Ander plays like he did, you know, the back half of last game, or if he, you know, starts off slow again. So all in all, just excited for another game. Happy it's a holiday. So I'm going to get to hang out at the pool, have a couple beers, and then go right into game time. So, should be a good one tonight.
As Cheshire Cat just viciously with the verbal onslaught on Corey Perry in the chat right now for the Edmonton for the chat right there. Yeah, I like Dallas a little bit, +110. I agree. I'm actually going to bet that. I thought I had mentioned it, but I cashed with it yesterday with Florida. I do like that Edmonton scoring in the first period. It's been a great look. It really has. The team off a loss, and especially going home off a loss, has been, that angle's been even better. So I don't mind laying a little price there to get that Edmonton to score in the first period. And like I said, over 1.5, over 5.5 for me. Just like with Game 3 yesterday, Rangers-Panthers, the over bifecta. Alex, what do you think here, Game 3, Stars-Oilers?
Yeah, I like goals here early. I don't know about full game. I'm just a little bit more cautious on it. I will be on the over bifecta, but actually the over trifecta, but I'm playing the full game 5.5 a little bit smaller. Going bigger with the first period over, 1.5 minus $1.05. I got both teams to score +188. So by having both teams to score, I don't need to lay the 156 on the Edmonton problem, seeing anything between 140 and 150. So just going to look at both teams to score and first period over. Smaller play on that over 5.5. Like I said, I think things open up. Seeing the change of scenery, like I said, Dallas plays better on the road. Edmonton playing better at home. I think this could be the probably the craziest game of the series, honestly, as far as just up and down pace. So I'm looking for a goal fest here, hoping that we at least get the early part going. But it'd be fun if we can see some back and forth action throughout, just like we did yesterday with that Florida New York game. Seems like they've been kind of mimicking each other so far the first few games of the series. So I'm expecting overs here tonight too. And I do have a player prop that I'll be talking about a little bit later.
Absolutely. All right. Brett, what do you like here? West final game 3.
I'm right there with Alex, going with the over trifecta with a little bit heavier on the first period. Edmonton's played 3 straight road games since they closed out against Vancouver on the road. So their fans are going to be nice and loud, a lot of energy, give them a little extra juice in that first period coming out. But again, I think Dallas will be able to get on the board as well. So I do like the first period over, both teams to score. Full game over too. I think we're due for a clunker of a game from Stuart Skinner,
who's actually been great. I think that was one of the things that I was definitely worried about with Edmonton, because in the Vancouver series in game 6 and game 7, they really protected him. He didn't face a ton of shots. He didn't face a whole lot of great chances. I thought, you know, even in the game 2 loss, he played well, and he certainly played well in game 1. Against Dallas. So this guy's played well, and Skinner has got his confidence and mojo back at least a little bit after sitting those 2 games against Vancouver. And remember, the start of that Vancouver series, he was abysmal. So compare the way he was there to now, he's come a long way, and he's played so much better, and he's had to make some really great stops for the Edmonton Oilers the first two games of this series. So it does look like he's got his share of confidence back. We'll see if that continues tonight in this one. There's not a lot of props here, as you know, lately here in this round, because we've obviously seen the goals a little harder to come by. But when I look at this matchup here tonight, I'm going to go back to my old friend Wyatt Johnston tonight, because he's Mr. Road Warrior for the Dallas Stars. I think his best games have been on the road, quite honestly, here in the playoffs for the most part. So Wyatt, to me, stands out. I think for the Oilers, this is a Nugent Hopkins game. I think he's kind of due to maybe spring one against playing with McDavid. And again, the line, the matchup situation should be better for Edmonton now. You get him away. Look, to Matt's point about Suter and Petrovic, you know, they played all right in the first two games, but how many fucking shifts did they play against McDavid? You know, not many. So if they play a few tonight against McDavid, look out. It could be a little bit, especially Suter. Like, Suter's going to take a penalty or two if he's up there trying to defend McDavid. That's just the way it might be. So, like I said, you've got the opportunity to try to get those matchups now in your favor if you're Chris Knobloch. This is where you got to make your money as the head coach and make sure you get those, because Tanev's just playing at too great of a level, and Lindell for that matter, and of course Miro. You don't want McDavid to face any of those guys, you know, on the blue line if you can avoid it. You should have a better chance, at least, of avoiding it with this being on home ice. So Nugent Hopkins, Holloway, very interested. And I'm going to take a shot with Henrique tonight for the Oilers. Bouchard, too. Bouchard's done a lot of his goal scoring at home, you know, and if they're going to get more power plays, which I think they will tonight, Edmonton, you know, Bouchard's live to score a goal with one of those clappers, those Bouch bombs from the point. So those are definitely some props I'm interested in for game three here tonight. All right. Again, we have no show tomorrow, so we're going to talk about game four for Tuesday night in the East Final now, and that is the New York Rangers taking on the Florida Panthers. We've got Florida minus 170. They lose game three, they're laying a bigger price in game four. Minus 170, home favorites, 5.5 the total. Rangers leading the series 2-1. This becomes a very important game now for the Florida Panthers. I feel like I'm probably going to look at the same bet I tried with yesterday. It fell short, and that's Florida in the first period puck line. Probably will look in that direction. You got to have a strong start. If it's going to happen for you, it's got to be a strong start, but I don't want Florida beyond that. Minus 170 with the way this series has gone. Put it this way, you're laying minus 170 when the Panthers played such a better, superior territorial game against the Rangers yesterday and still found a way to lose. And now you've got to pay an even more expensive price to back the Florida Panthers in game four. It just doesn't feel worth it to me. And I just don't feel like I'm in any rush to take. And Florida, even if you're going to dumb it down, Alex, to regulation, do you really want Florida in regulation? We just saw two straight overtime games between these two teams, won by the Rangers in game two and game three. So to me, the value is just like, if you're going to play pure value here in game four, as far as the money line is concerned, to me, it's, you got to take New York, you know, and you got to take the Rangers at plus 150. I know they were outplayed in game three, and the shot attempt differential was what, over plus 60, you know, for the Florida Panthers in the game yesterday. And you know, they deserved a better result. But when you've got Igor Shesterkin, you know, as someone that is basically, you know, shutting the door, making all the key saves, you know, you are never out of a game, even if you're getting outplayed, even if the chances and the territorial edge is going against you. You know, that's what's been proven here in the first two games. So the bottom line is, you're going to be in a position where you're taking Florida because they got to have it, right? If you're thinking that way, you can't go down to New York, back to MSG, down 3-1. You're in tough. The Rangers, I think, are good enough that they're not going to lose three in a row, although they attempted fate with that against Carolina a little bit in the second round. But the bottom line is, to actually lose three in a row would be hard to envision the Rangers doing that. So you're going to take Florida tomorrow, but I guarantee you, you're probably going to be on the edge of your seat, biting your fingernails in a tight one-goal game, probably, you know, in the third period of game four tomorrow, if you're going to lay that price. And laying a price like that, and I'm nervous as fuck in the third period and the game is tight, I don't want any part of that. Sorry, I just don't. I don't want to be laying minus 170, and here I am in a nail biter in the final 5 minutes or 10 minutes of the third period. So I think if you're going to play pure value in game four, it's Rangers or pass. I'm going to opt to go with Panthers first period puck line will get a nice plus price with that, around plus 150, 55 or so with the Panthers first period puck line. Panthers to score in the first period, cash for me in game three. Probably go back to that as well. It'll be around minus 145, minus 150, the price with that. I'm not as sold, though, on the overs this time. That was a great spot for it. Think if you're the Rangers in particular, you've got to try to, you know, keep Florida from just hammering away at you as far as the shot attempts go, and trying to control the pace a little bit more. You know, I could actually see this one being a little bit back to the underways of the first two games. But again, the total is one I'm probably going to stay off. And in this game, more so like looking toward Florida to score in the first, and Florida in the first period puck line of game four with the Rangers and the Panthers. And there are some props that I'm definitely interested in, but we'll get to Alex first with his thoughts here. Game four in the East, Rangers, Panthers.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to be on the first period over, but like I said, not the full game over. I think we'll still be able to see some pace early, and we're getting a plus $1.05. So anytime I see plus money now in this series that first period over, I'll be on that for sure. It was a great price, getting high plus 127 in the last game. And obviously with the six-game, seven-game series stack that we have, we need Florida to win the game to activate that. Yeah. So I could take a shot with the Rangers and hedge back at plus 150 slightly.
That's
but
true.
At the same time, I just need one more overtime to cash a plus 750 ticket with three overtimes in the series. So I might just completely stand pat as far as side goes and just hope for a Florida win in overtime to really just kind of maximize all of my profits. 1-1 after the first 20 minutes and can just stay that way outside of regulation.
Yeah, no question. I think that is indeed the case that we are going to see, obviously, another close game. And that's a great bet. You know, even, you know, I know you still need one more, but the over 2.5 overtime games in this series, that we figured it was going to be close, competitive, a lot of tight games throughout the series. It's definitely in good shape right now. Two straight overtime games in this series. Brett, what do you think here? Game four, Tuesday night, Rangers-Panthers.
Yeah, I would be looking at Florida early, if at all, because like you said, there's no value on the 170. The only thing that's kind of jumped out to me right now that I'll be on is the Bobrovsky saves. I think after getting that such a large margin of shot attempts, New York's going to want to fire some more pucks on net. And after giving up five goals, Bobrovsky's usually a guy who can bounce back pretty soundly. So his shot prop's only at 23.5 saves. So I'm definitely going to be on that.
I don't mind that. I forgot to mention, too, I kind of like Stu Skinner over saves tonight, because Dallas does shoot the puck more. The shot attempts and the shots on goal, all playoffs, more for Dallas on the road compared to at home. So maybe the Skinner over saves might be worth a look there in that game tonight. And I don't argue with Alex's first period over, because we've seen it cash two straight here in this series with the first period going over the total. Matt, what do you like here Tuesday night, game four, Rangers-Panthers?
Yeah, again, I'm in the same boat. I lean Florida, but I'm not laying minus 170 because I do think, you know, it wouldn't be surprising if New York gets it done. But I will be on Florida to score in the first period. Again, coming off the loss, they are at home again. You think they'll have a good start. I'll also be on the first period over, but then I do think things sort of slow down. And I hadn't looked at many of the props for this game yet since it's tomorrow, but I do like that Bobrovsky save prop. So that could be something I look at as well. 23.5 seems low. I know it's the playoffs, but, you know, if New York can get to 25, 26 shots, you know, that has a really good chance to hit. So I might look at that as well. But, yeah, nothing really else, at least at this point. Maybe some live looks tomorrow night while we're on the BetCast. So, you know, I've got that to look forward to during that game. So don't have to worry about putting too much ahead of the game and can kind of save some of the bankroll for live looks with you guys.
Absolutely. That's what the BetCast is for. You don't have to put all your eggs in the basket and all your chips on the table pregame, especially when we have a BetCast like we will for tomorrow night, Game 4 East Final. That one will be Patreon exclusive. And, of course, Wednesday night, Dallas-Edmonton Game 4 West Final live BetCast. That one will be a free-for-all. But, yeah, just quickly as far as props go, I think it's time for Chris Kreider's the one guy that didn't have a great game yesterday for the Rangers. I think +240 on Kreider tomorrow night to score a goal. I like that. Usually he's one of those guys I can really, really count on him when I think that he didn't play his best. You know, I could definitely see that. Reinhart got off the schneid. If Florida's going to do things, I think it's a Matthew Tkachuk game for Florida too. Tkachuk's had some chances. I think he can take his game another level. So, you know, the Tkachuk, Verhaeghe, Barkov, Reinhart group, you know, focus on them. I'm going to try Philip Hedl again because he's had chances. He has +500 as long as he stays on that top line. And I think based on the way he's been all of a sudden ripping it up the last two games, hopefully it's not a day late dollar short scenario. But don't you have to put at least a couple bucks on Mr. Barclay Goodrow right now for the New York Rangers at +650, you know, at FanDuel to score a goal tomorrow night in that game? I mean, you just hope that, you know, he hasn't emptied all the bullets out of the holster here in these last two games, scoring the game winner in overtime in game two and then the two-goal performance yesterday for the Rangers in game three. But I think the way Barclay Goodrow is playing right now for the New York Rangers, and again, that prototypical stepping up in the playoffs, even though you don't get a ton of offense from him in the regular season, he's reminded me of Joel Ward. He really, truly is. Joel Ward was not a big-time offensive producer in the regular season, but how many goals would that guy score for you in a big-time playoff run? Huge he was, no question. And, boy, Barclay Goodrow is definitely reminding me a lot of Joel Ward. He just finds ways to score and make an offensive impact in the playoffs. So I think it would be difficult not to maybe throw a couple bucks on Barclay Goodrow tomorrow night once again to score. That was actually one of the best calls I've heard McDonough make in a hockey game was that one when Goodrow scored his second goal yesterday. What's gotten into Goodrow? It's true. It's like, my goodness. Talk about something coming out of the blue. But he's been spectacular for the Rangers, no question. You know what's also spectacular? The time we have on our betcasts. It is. It's always fun. And we have two more coming up here this week. Tuesday, May 28th, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, Patreon exclusive. Rangers Panthers game 4, Wednesday, May 29th, free for all Western Conference final game 4, Stars and Oilers at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. So again, make sure you join us, and for the Patreon exclusive betcast tomorrow for Rangers Panthers, the only way to join us, tune in and watch and join us on the stream is to sign up for just $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. Again, you'll have access to all our remaining Patreon exclusive live betcasts. You will also get access to our daily sides, totals, and player props posted each day on the page, as well as, of course, all of our bonus off-season content, goalie charts, totals charts. We're going to have a bunch of off-season content. The free agency special in July, I believe, will be Patreon exclusive. We'll have our player suite interview series returning over the summer months as well, which we look forward to on the Patreon page. So make sure you sign up, just $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. And again, check out the Ice Guys store. Big news with today, 25% off everything at the Ice Guys store today on this Memorial Day holiday south of the border. So again, 25% off all purchases, all orders at the Ice Guys store. So get your gear and your merch today, iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
That's right. Visit the site. Click on the redeem button at the top of the page. You can get 25% taken off everything in your order at checkout. We've got everything in stock right now, all the caps, all the T-shirts, all the hoodies, everything ready to roll right now at 25% off up until midnight. That's available at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah. That's, you know what, one thing about the comment here from Cheens in the chat, the bread, man, that bread's dry. It's stale. It doesn't taste good. I'd throw it in the garbage right now. He's got to pick it up.
Croutons. You know,
right now. Yeah. Croutons. Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Artemi Panera and the bread, man, like I said, that's some stale-ass bread right now. Dry as fuck, you know. Malbatoast. You know, I don't want anything to do with it right now. So, exactly. He's got to pick it up. Big time. Now, I know they're up 2-1 in the series, but Artemi Panarin, there's another gear he's got in him. We'll see if he can deliver it here moving forward. All right, we're going to try to deliver moving forward with our bargain bin special of the night and best bets coming up in just a moment right after we hear from our great sponsors.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out and you get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. And again, a reminder, no show tomorrow. So we'll be back the daily show after today on Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. But bargain bin special of the night. And because we're not on till Wednesday, bargain bin special could be from either game. It could be tonight's game three with Dallas Edmonton, or it could be game four, Rangers Panthers. Take your pick. Alex, we'll start with you. Where are you headed in the bargain bin?
I'm going to give you one for each game. How about that? We'll go with tonight. I like Miro Heiskanen to get an anytime goal. It's a plus 500 available at FanDuel. So that's my bargain bin for tonight's game. And then for game four, going with Evan Rodriguez, first goal, plus 2,500. Available at FanDuel. So Evan Rodriguez for Florida tomorrow, get the first goal of the game, 25-1. Miro Heiskanen tonight, plus 500 to get a goal anytime. Those are my two bargain bin specials.
Actually makes sense giving out two bargain bin specials because we're not on tomorrow. So one for Monday, one for Tuesday. So I'm going to do the same thing. Brett, bargain bin specials, what do you like?
I just have one for tonight's game. My bargain bin is going to be Evan Bouchard to score a goal, plus 430. He scored in three straight home games, four home games throughout these playoffs. I think we're going to see some power play opportunities for him tonight to let one of those bombs go. So Evan Bouchard, plus 430.
Good stuff. Evan Bouchard, plus 430. And I agree. It's not my bargain bin special for this game, but I agree with – and I did bet it, though. I agree with it. Like, they're going to get a few more power plays tonight. They just are. They're going to be in more advantageous, probably, matchups to be able to get stick position, body position on some of these Dallas players, especially if McDavid's away from Tanev and Lindell tonight for a bit. And they will get a few more power plays. And they might just get a few more power plays by default because of Knobloch flapping his gums after game two about the officiating situation. So, like I said, it makes sense. Evan Bouchard worth a look. Plus 470 for Brett Skalski with his bargain bin special of the night. Matt, what do you got here in the bargain bin for this show?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with a player on the Dallas Stars. I'm reading that he's taken over Pavelski's spot on the first power play. And if Rupe Hintz is in, I think he'll be back with his two line mates that he plays best with all season. He's got 10 shots in two games for the Stars. I'm going to go with Tyler Seguin, anytime goal scorer, plus 340. He obviously did have the two in game one. Didn't score in game two, but still getting a lot of looks. And if he's back on that first power play, and if he's back with Duchesne and Marchman, I love for him to get some more opportunities tonight. So if it is a game where things open up, I think Tyler Seguin gets one in the net. So that'll be my bargain bin. Again, I saw like plus 340, plus 350, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it makes sense. He's had a good last several games, really. Going back to the Colorado series, he's played well. He's had opportunities. He's been right there with chances to get even more goals than he's had so far. He's been one of the better forwards for Dallas, especially the last few games. So, yes, plus 370, best price right now with Tyler Seguin for the Dallas Stars for Bargain Bin Special. I will also give out, like Alex did, two Bargain Bin Specials, one for each game. Tonight, I'm gonna go with the guy that's drawn back into the lineup for Edmonton tonight, Adam Henrique, a veteran presence, comes in for Ryan McLeod, and he's being brought in to give that team some offensive punch and an offensive spark. And I think he's got the chance to deliver that. And again, at home ice, tonight for game three on home ice, you expect Edmonton's supporting cast maybe to step up a little bit, help out the McDavid, Dreisaitl, Hyman group. So I'm going to go with Adam Henrique back in the lineup for the Oilers tonight and on the score sheet. Plus 550 for Adam Henrique to score a goal tonight for Edmonton. That's going to be my bargain bin special for this game. And then for Tuesday night with the Rangers and the Panthers, as far as I'm concerned, there's a couple of really good options both ways. There's on both sides that definitely stick out to me. But I'm going to go with, and I believe Alex mentioned him for first goal in game four. I'm just going to go with just to score. And that's Evan Rodriguez. I can't think of a guy for Florida other than him who's had so many chances buzzing around the net. Shesterkin made a tremendous save on him with one of the chances. Evan Rodriguez is going to put one in at some point if he keeps playing this way, and you're getting a really good price on him, plus 440 at FanDuel for Evan Rodriguez to score a goal tomorrow for the Florida Panthers. So there you go. Two bargain bin specials, Adam Henrique, plus 550 for Edmonton tonight, Evan Rodriguez, plus 440 for Florida tomorrow. Those are going to be my two bargain bin specials of the night.
Now we have a combo for tomorrow, essentially, too, with Rodriguez, because I like him first goal. You like him anytime.
Exactly. There you go. And maybe lightning can strike twice, a la Jamie Benn. Last time we did that, it hit Saturday night.
Yep.
Bargain bin just to score for me with Jamie Benn, and you had Benn score and first goal. So hopefully a little lightning in the bottle there with Mr. Rodriguez on Tuesday night, Rangers-Panthers for game four. All right, best bets. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, we'll go with tonight's first period over with Edmonton and Dallas, because it changed the scenery. I think we still see a little bit more of that kind of up-tempo pace. It's a better Dallas team on the road, a better Edmonton team at home, and I think we get goals here early and often. So give me the first period over 1.5, plus 105 with Edmonton-Dallas in game four tonight, or game three tonight.
Yeah, there you go. Game three, Dallas-Edmonton over 1.5, plus 105, first period. Best bet for Alex B. Smith. Brett, what do you like here, best bet?
Yep, I'm with Alex. I like goals early, except I'm going to take it one step further and have the first period both teams to score at plus 195 is my best bet.
Yeah, great price. And if I did not take, and I'm still bemoaning that I did not have the wherewithal, but I just didn't take the both teams to score first period yesterday with Rangers and Panthers. So I feel I might sprinkle on that tonight a little bit, just because of that price. I mean, almost plus 200 is a great price with that. Both teams to score first period, Stars and Oilers, which easily hit in game two, by the way. Both teams got on the board quickly in game two on a Saturday night. Matt, what do you like here tonight for best bet?
Yeah, so I like both of those best bets as well. But for my best bet, I'm going to take Dallas over 2.5 goals tonight, minus 135. I do think this will change a little bit if Roope Hintz is announced in, because it just gives Dallas, you know, three lines of depth from a scoring perspective. So get it now if you want it. I think he's going to end up playing, hopefully. But yeah, Dallas to score over 2.5 goals tonight. That's my best bet.
All right, there we go. That's not a bad price either for that. Dallas Stars team total over 2.5, minus 135. Best bet for Matt Robinson. Yeah, Nick, I know it was a bad situation there with playing La Bamba after the win on Saturday night, but the Stars DJ, first of all, he does a great job. His music choices are great in that building, as far as I'm concerned. Second of all, he didn't realize what the significance of that song was to the Edmonton fan and the Edmonton organization, that it was the favorite song of Joey, you know, the guy that was working on the team, on the staff for so long, passed away years ago. And then, of course, the Ben Stelter, the young kid who had cancer there and it passed away. So there was the emotional significance to that. I love that he apologized to Oilers fans, said, I didn't realize that ahead of time. Usually we just play the goal song or the win song for the opposing team just as a way to troll them. But right. It was a great apology. It was one of the great social media. There's so much shit and there's so much bad in it and there's so much hate and there's so much, you know, vile shit when it comes to it. That was one of the great moments. And not only did he apologize, the Stars DJ, for playing that song at the end of game two when the Stars won, which the Oilers use as their victory song at home, he then donated to the Ben Stelter Foundation as well, which was just it's such a great gesture. And I think it makes everything forgiven now. Like I said, it was just such a class act for him to do that. It was a wonderful gesture.
Wait, is La Bamba, is that their goal song?
It is. No, it's their victory song. They always say, play La Bamba in Edmonton after they win a home game.
Okay.
And apparently they played it at the end of Dallas's win in game two in Dallas. So do that for all the teams. But yeah, they didn't realize there was this emotional attachment to this song for the Oilers with the – you know, Joey Moss was the guy that was there forever. Like, he would always belt the anthem, too, behind the bench. I remember all those years. And then it was also the favorite song of the young kid that was a big Oiler fan, big fan of McDavid. And it was just wonderful the way the DJ for the Stars handled that. Said, you know what, I didn't realize it. I apologize. And then he donated to the Ben Stelter Foundation. I mean, how good is that?
That's cool. Like I said, if it was just because of just a straight up troll and they were getting mad about it, then that would be ridiculous. But like you said, with that having that kind of connotation to, and connection to the team, I could see where maybe some people were kind of ruffled a little bit the wrong way there. So the donation was nice.
Yeah, no doubt. So it's nice to see good things every now and then, you know, on the line. There's no question about that. And Matt, too. Matt gave us some good things on Twitter comparing a hike to a walk, and I agreed with it 1,000%. I thought that was pretty damn funny. So, like I said, there's definitely good things when it comes to Twitter. You just got to find them among the shit sometimes that goes on there. Great stuff. We hope you didn't feel this show was shit. Hit the like button. We appreciate it very much. Remember, we got no show tomorrow, no daily show tomorrow, but we're back with BetCasts tomorrow night and Wednesday night for the East and West Conference Finals. Game 4 in the East, Game 4 in the West, Tuesday and Wednesday night. We're looking forward to it. And a reminder, of course, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. And you can check out the Ice Guys show on the True TV Plus app. Download the True TV Plus app on your Roku, Amazon, and Apple devices. For Alex B. Smith, Brett Skalski, Matt Robinson, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Memorial Day. I'm rocking the American shirt today. I always do that, Memorial Day. And July 4th, if we do a show, I'm always rocking that here to pay homage to the states on their holiday. Happy Memorial Day. Enjoy the rest of the day. And we will be back on Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, with our next daily show. But, of course, Patreon members, the BetCast, tomorrow night, Game 4, Rangers-Panthers, 8 p.m. Eastern. Join us then right here on the Ice Guys.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.